Today's daf is Nida daf Nun, and we will begin from the Mishnah about 10 lines from the bottom of daf Mem Tes Amid Beis Kol Ra'u Ladun Dinei Nefashos. Today's daf is being learned as a Zchus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo Ben Sarah Aliza. So the Mishnah is continuing its digression. The beginning of the sixth Perek, Perek Bas Simin, discussed the simonim of Kitana and mentioned Efshir l'tachtoin lovoi ad shalei boha elyoin, aval efshir l'elyoin lovoi ad shalei boha tachtoin. And on that theme, the Mishnah digresses and talks about things that are sometimes contingent upon each other, sometimes mutually exclusive. Either way, today's daf really has nothing to do with the sugyas of Nida, stating that a lot of geshmaki yisoidus in today's daf, hafeichba, the hafeichba de kulaba, says the Mishnah, kol roi, lo din din, fashas roi, lo din din, enim al minois. Any person that is roi to be on a bezdin that will preside over dinei nefashos is certainly roi to be on a bezdin that's going to preside over dinei mominos. V'yesha roi ladin dinei mominos, v'eni roi ladin dinei nefashos. Possible, however, for a person to be roi, to be a judge on a bezdin that's paskin in dinei mominos, but not on a bezdin that's paskin in dinei nefashos. In other words, the criteria, the prerequisites necessary to be a judge on a bezdin that's going to judge dinei nefashos are higher. It's a higher standard than to be on a bezdin that's going to judge dinei mominos. In fact, you find that sometimes the Gemara, Chazal, refer to the bezdin that paskin dinei nefashos as the Sanhedrin Ketana. So the Sanhedrin was the Sanhedrin that was made up of 70 or 71 dayanim. In order to paskin dinei nefashos, he needed a bezdin of Chav Gimel, a bezdin of 23. But that bezdin of Chav Gimel was referred to by Chazal as a Sanhedrin. Not the Sanhedrin with the Hei Yedia, but a Sanhedrin Ketana, a smaller Sanhedrin. Either way, to be a member of the Sanhedrin, even the smaller Sanhedrin, was required certain prerequisites, and that's what the Mishnah says, that if somebody is roi to be on this Sanhedrin Ketana, certainly can pass in dinei mominos. But in the reverse, it doesn't necessarily mean that. Amar Rav Yehuda said, what's this Mishnah coming to tell me? Meaning, who's this kala roi leading dinei nefashos? That's also roi ladin dinei mominos, and the yeshe roi ladin dinei mominos, feini roi ladin dinei nefashos. It's lasuye mamzer, it's coming to teach a mamzer. A mamzer, says Rashi, is kasha ladin dinei mominos, but he's pasu ladin dinei nefashos. It says the Gemara, didn't we learn that already? The Mishnah says everyone can pass in dinei mominos, not everybody can pass in dinei nefashos. Who's that coming to be marbo? Mamzer can pass in dinei mominos, he can't pass in dinei nefashos. So our Mishnah called roi ladin dinei nefashos, roi ladin dinei mominos. But the sefer, the yesha roi ladin dinei mominos, vein roi ladin dinei nefashos is lasuye mamzer. Don't I know lasuye mamzer already from a Mishnah somewhere else in Masechta Sanhedrin? So the Gemara says you're right. Chodel lasuye ger. One Mishnah is coming to be marba a ger, as in a ger tzedek, and the other one is coming to be marba a mamzer v'tzrichi, and we need both. Yashmin and ger, because had I only known that a ger can paskin dinei mominos, I would have thought mishum the roi lava bakal, because a ger is roi lava bakal. A ger can marry anybody. Avo mamzer ain't roi lava bakal, but a mamzer who can only marry a mamzeres. So you see that to a degree, a mamzer is less than a ger. Emaloi maybe can't paskin dinei mominos. V'yashmin a mamzer. I know mamzer. I would have thought mishum the kasim iti pekshera, because a mamzer, although he's also lava bakal, and although he comes from this illegitimate bia, but at the same time his mother's Jewish, his father's Jewish. Avo ger the kasim iti papsula, but a ger who came from a tipa psula. He's a ger, that means when he was born, he wasn't Jewish, so his conception happened through psul, emaloi, maybe he's worse, maybe he can't paskin dinei mominos. Tzricha, that's why we need two mishnahis. We need our mishnah of kaloroi, ladin dinei nefashos, roi, ladin dinei mominos, v'esheroi, ladin dinei mominos, v'ein roi, ladin dinei nefashos. And I need another mishnah, hakul k'shei, ladin dinei mominos, v'ein hakul k'shei, ladin dinei nefashos. In addition to the halacha that the mishnah is saying, it's lasuye something, one is lasuye mamzer, the other one is lasuye ger, that they can paskin dinei mominos. Sok the mishnah vayit, kol ha-kosher ladin, kosher lehed. Anyone that's kosher to be a dayan certainly is kosher to be an aid. V'yesha kosher lehed, but it's possible for someone to be kosher to be an aid. V'enei kosher ladin, but at the same time you won't be kosher to be a dayan. This is something that's very intuitive. The standard to be a judge is obviously higher than the standard to be a witness. So not everybody can be a judge, but anyone can be a witness. not anybody, but for sure, if you're roi to be a dayan, you're roi to be an eid. Zokta gemara lasuye. What's this coming to teach us? Rabbi Yochanan said lasuye suma beachas meinov. That a suma beachas meinov is kosher to say eidos. Meaning, there's a chiddush in the Mishnah for sure, and the chiddush is that a suma in Be'achas me'enav, meaning someone that's blind in one eye, he's kosher to be in it. Now Rashi says, one thing is implied for Rabbi Yochanan just said, and that is a summa b'shtei enav. If someone's blind in both eyes, he's not kosher to be in it. Now Rashi says, the reason is because it says in the pasuk oy ra'a, in the parish of Shavuos Eidos, that if somebody saw Eidos and he doesn't come and testify and he swears that he doesn't know Eidos, and then it turned out he was lying, so there's a whole parish of Shavuos Eidos. But it says Aira, and you see from there a drasha that someone's only kosher Eidos if he can see. But a Summa can't see. So what about a Summa Ba'achas Me'enav? He could see, but there's some chisaron in his re'iyah. Said Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah is saying that there's a kosher Le'heyah that's in a kosher Ladun, and that person is the Summa. The Achas Me'enav says, "Gomani." Rabbi Yochanan continued and said, "And if that's what the Mishnah is coming to teach me, that a Summa Achas Me'enav is Kashal Eidos, it must be that the Mishnah is going to Rameir." The time we learned to the Brayz, "Hey Rameir Oimer." Ma Tamud Loimer. It says in the pasuk, "Al Pm Yeh Kol Riv V'Chol Nega." So the pasuk is talking about the Koyanim, and it says the Koyanim are in charge of a lot of things. They're in charge of Kol Riv. They're in charge of Kol Nega. Now Kol Nega, we know they're the ones that inspected the negayim. If somebody had a nega, they'd go to a doctor. If somebody had a nega, he would go to the kohen, and the kohen would determine whether it was a nega that makes him a mitzayra, or it wasn't a nega that made him a mitzayra. What's pasuk shot when the pasuk says val pm yeh kol riv? Every fight, every dispute, every chayshem mishpat case should be brought to the kohanim. It's because the Kayhanim, in addition to everything that they were responsible for, they had an additional responsibility, which was Yair Mishpatach LeYaakov V'Sayla Raskali Yisrael. They were also the Dayanim. So the Pasuk is simply saying, Al Pi Amir Kol Riv, that's any monetary dispute, V'Chol Nega, and so too, they're in charge of the Negon. But Rameir Darsh in the Pasuk, he said, V'Chima Inin Rivim Eitzel Negon. From the Smichos between Riv and Nega, it sounds like the Torah is equating the two. Said Rameir, yeah, Makish Rivel and Negoim, not Negoim, but you're just like Negoim, the Koyin, who inspected a Nega, had to do so during the day, couldn't do it at night. Dichsev, Uviyoim Heroispa, it's a pasuk in the Torah, Ubiyoim as opposed to Laila, after even by Yoim. So we learn from here that you can only judge, Bezdin can only convene during the day. Additionally, Uman Negoim Shaloi Besum, this is what we need. Just like Negoim is Shaloi Besum, a blind Koyin can't be one that's going to inspect the nega, dichsev l'chol mari enei akoyen, af rivim shalei besuma. So to rivim is shalei besuma. Makash agam rivim. Additionally, we go in the reverse. Ma rivim shalei b'kravim. Just like to be a dayan, you can't be a karev. Af negam shalei b'kravim. So to a koyen that's a karev, wasn't able to inspect negam. I ma rivim b'shloish af negam b'shloish. Should we continue and say that just like rivim, to paskin, monetary dispute, dine momentus, you need three dayanim, perhaps negam, you would need three kayhanim, vidinu. And by the way, says the Gemara, even makes sense of Kavu Chaymer, because memayna b'shloisha, guvalei kolshken, if you're judging somebody's money, you're telling me you need three dayanim, certainly if you're going to judge his guf, you should need three. Says the Gemara, tamalim, guvalei aharon ha-kayin, oyel echa mibonav ha-kayhanim, holomadata, you see from here that aharon ha-kayin himself could do it, sha'afilu kayin echad roya sa-negayin, right, either aharon oy echad mibonav. So you see from here that you don't need three. Either way, so what do you see from a mayor? Very clearly, the mayor held that just like negayim is shaloi besuma, so too rivim is shaloi besuma. And if that's the case, mani masnisin, it's going to be going according to a mayor. So come on, who's Sam Yudavish Vuse? Rabbi Yochanan, there was a blind person that was b'shiva vuse. The Rabbi Yochanan, the Havi Kodai Dina. Incidentally, I didn't speak out the Gemara Klar. What the Gemara means to say is that a suma be'achas me'enov, you see from a mayor, can't be a dayan. That's the point. The point is the Mishnah said that a suma be'achas me'enov is kosher lehayid, ve'ena yesha kosher lehayid, ve'ena kosher ladon. And the Gemara said, la suye mai, Rabbi Yochanan, la suye suma be'achas me'enov, Zok Rashi, the kosher lehayid, ve'ena kosher ladon. We're bringing a raya that he's pasul ladan. Why is he pasul ladan? Because makish rivim l'negayim, and by negayim it says l'chol marei enei akoyen, which is memayit suma, but it's not only memayit suma, it's also memayit asuma ba'achas me'enov, because l'chol marei enei akoyen seems to suggest you have to be able to see perfectly, and asuma ba'achas me'enov is not l'chol marei enei akoyen. If that's the case, he's going to be nesmayit from rivim as well. So come on, who's Sami Davish, who's Rabbi Yochanan? It was a blind person, that lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yochanan, Dava Kodon Dino, and he used to pask in Shaihus, like, come on, live like Midi. And Rabbi Yochanan didn't tell him anything. How could Rabbi Yochanan tell him anything? Well, Rabbi Yochanan said, Halacha Kistam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan's Halacha Kistam Mishnah. But tonight, and we just learned the Stam Mishnah, Kosha Ladun, Kosha Lehayat, Viesh Kosha Lahayat, Vain Kosha Ladun. I mean, Lasu Yemai. We said, what's the Chiddush of our Mishnah? Someone that's Kosha Lahayat, Vainai Kosha Ladun, from Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan himself said, Lasu Yasuma Machas Meyenov, it's coming to be Marba Suma Machas Meyenov. Asuma Baachas Meyenov is Kosha to say Eidos, but he's not Kosha Ladun. So you see that even Asuma Baachas Meyenov is not Kosha Ladun. Certainly, a summa b'shteyenov is not kosher ladon. So, how is it possible that Rabbi Yochanan, who holds halacha kistam mishnah, and we have a stam mishnah that says that a summa even ba'achas meyenov can't be a judge, yet there was a summa in Rabbi Yochanan's shtetl in his neighborhood who was paskining shaylas, and Rabbi Yochanan didn't tell him anything? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan stam achrina ashkach, it's true. There is a stam mishnah clearly right here in Masechtas Nida daf mem tes amud beis that says that a summa can't paskin shaylas, and Rabbi Yochanan holds halacha like a stam mishnah. But there's another stam mishnah. Tanya, we learned to the mishnah Masechtas Sanhedrin. Dine mamon is done by yoim, v'goyim b'alayla. The dine mamon is you're allowed to do by day, or you have to start by day, but you could be goyim b'alayla. Now, what do you see from this mishnah? You see from this mishnah that he doesn't make the hekish between rivim and a goyim, because if you make the hekesh between Rivim and Nagam, Nagam has to be during the day, then Rivim would also have to be during the day. So what's the pshat for Goyim and Balayla? So from this Stam Mishnah, you see, not like Rav Meir. Because Rav Meir's halacha that a suma can't paskin shailas is based on a hekesh between Rivim and Nagam. Al piyam yeh kol Rivim chol neg. V'chimayin Rivim eitzel Nagam. So a hekesh. And there were a whole bunch of halachas that we learned to have from this hekesh. One of the halachas was that a suma can't paskin shailas. Another halacha was that Dina Mamanis has to be bayoy. Here we have a Mufurisha Mishnah that says Dina Mamanis is done in bayoy, but v'goyim in balayla. So what do you see from this Stam Mishnah? It's the like Rav Meir. So Enochanam Rav Yechon was halacha kistam Mishnah. But, and the truth is, the Stam Mishnah here in Nida Mem Tesla Mebez is Kira Meir. But Rabbi Yochanan had another Stam Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan Stam Achrina Ashkach et Ketrof Enoch Stam Mishnah. Where did he find it? In Sanhedrin. And that Stam Mishnah was the Leker Ameir. And being that there were two Stam Mishnah that conflicted each other, so Rabbi Yochanan chose the Stam Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin rather than the Stam Mishnah Masechta Nidah. And Chinami, Mitzad the Stam Mishnah Masechta Nidah, which comes out that the Summa is not allowed to pass in Chayos. But Mitzad the Stam Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin comes out that the Summa is allowed to pass in Chayos. Rabbi Yochanan passing like the Stam Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin, and that's why Yahu Samya, the Havah Bishop of Vusei, the Rabbi Yochanan, this blind person who was in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yochanan, David Kodon Dina, he didn't tell him anything. Why? Because even though the Stam Mishnah in Nida holds that this Suma wasn't allowed to pass in Shilas, there's another Stam Mishnah, and Rabbi Yochanan chose the other Stam Mishnah. Frank the Gemara, the obvious question. Why did Rabbi Yochanan feel that the Stam Mishnah in Sanhedrin was any better than the Stam Mishnah in Masechtas Nidah? So the Gemara gives two truths. Iba Yisema, Stama de Rabbi Mot. Here you have a Stam Mishnah, it's like Rav Meir. That's the Mishnah in Nidah. And here you have a Stam Mishnah in Sanhedrin, it's like the Chum that argue with Rav Meir. So there is a klal, Yochav Rabbim, Halachik Rabbim. Now, there's also a klal, Halachik Stam Mishnah. But if I can go with a Stam Mishnah of a Yochid and a Stam Mishnah of a Rabbim, so why not? It's actually kaim shneim. So you'll have halacha k'stam mishnah, and you'll have halacha k'rabim. So therefore, he chose the halacha of the rabim. Iba Yisema. The second reason the Gemara gives is an interesting one, and that is mishum the katani lo the gabi hilchas of the dini. You find this in several places in Shas, and that is that at the end of the day, this is a halacha in hilchas dayanim. One mishnah is in Masechtas Nidah. The other one is in Masechtas Sanhedrin. Masechtas Sanhedrin is the Shulchan Aruch. That's the Masechta that talks about the laws of Dayanin, the laws of judges. Masechtas Nidah talks about Nidah. Now, the Gemara and the Mishnah sometimes digresses. So this Mishnah is a Mishnah that's tucked away. It's a digression. A Marumakim that's tucked away is not as chashiv as a Marumakim that's mafurish. It's much a kav, but it's not as chashiv. So the Mishnah, to know that there's a Mishnah Nida daf mem tes on the base daf nun that talks about a suma, whether it could be a dayan or not a dayan, I hear, gishmak. But halacha l'maisa, a stam Mishnah, Masechta Sanhedrin, that talks about the Sanhedrin is more chashiv, it's more valuable as it relates to the halacha than a stam Mishnah, Masechta Nida, and it's for that reason he picked the Mishnah in Masechta Sanhedrin. Another Mishnah that goes goes along the same thing. Anything that is chayev and maisrus is subject to the laws of tumas leichlin. It's possible to have food that's subject to the laws of tumas leichlin. But in chayev and maisrus, it's not going to be chayev and maisrus. So the Mishnah is comparing and contrasting two areas in halacha that at first glance are completely unrelated. One is maiser, the other one is tumas leichlin. So we know what maiser is. What's tumas leichlin? We know what that is as well. That's the idea that food can become tameh, right? So food can become tameh. In fact, to a degree, it's easier for food to become tameh than for a person to become tameh than for a keli to become tameh. Food could become even a shlishi latomah, even a revi latomah. So food can become tameh. In order for it to be tameh, it has to first be huchsha lekabel tameh, which means it has to be wet, and the owner of the food has to be satisfied with the fact that it became wet. But there's a concept called tumas leichlin. Meiser is related to very, very specific types of foods. Tumas leichlin, all foods. It's like the Mishnah, kol shechai b'maisres. If this is a food which is chai b'maisres, obviously it's going to be subject to tumas leichlin. Because if it's food for meiser, then it's food. If it's food, tumas leichlin. But it's possible to have food that's going to be subject to the laws of tumas leichlin, but it won't be subject to the laws of maisrus, because not all food is subject to maisrus. Zog the gemara lasuye mai lasuye. Very simple. Basar v'dogim ubeitzim. Doesn't matter if it's meat or fish or eggs. These are all foods, so they're all subject to tumas leichlin. But at the same time, they're not subject to maisrus. You don't give maisrus from meat. Zog the mishnah kol shechayev bepeh chayev maisrus. V'ish chayev maisrus then the chayev bepeh. Again, two things that are technically unrelated. Both mitzvahs are tluyas baritz, but they're completely different sugyas, different mesachtas, not the same halacha. So the Mishnah, they have this relationship as well. That if you're chayiv and peya, you're for sure going to be chayiv and meiser. But you can be chayiv and meiser, but not be chayiv and peya. So what's peya? Peya is that when a person was harvesting his field, so there's the corner of the field, the edge of the field, he had to leave untouched. He had to leave that for the aniyim. So there's a pisal shirayim, you had to leave over when you're harvesting, and that was left over for the aniyim. So if something is chayiv and peya, for sure it's chayiv and meiser. Interesting. But it's possible to be chayiv in meiser and not be chayiv in peya. Zogmar lasuye mai lasuye te'ena v'yerek. The difference between peya and meiser is two things. It's figs and it's vegetables. She'eni chayiv in peya. These things are not chayiv in peya, but at the same time, they are chayiv in meiser. I'm going to the Mishnah column with peya. Here's the rule of peya. Perek aleph Mishnah dalet. In mesach this peya. Kol shu oichel. Anything that's food. V'nishmar. And it's protected. We'll see what that means. Rulim in ha'aretz. We'll see what that means. Uli kitase ke'echad. It all ripens at the same time. The entire crop ripens at the same time. Umachnis lekiyum. It's something that people store, meaning it's not perishable. Chayev bepeya. The halacha is chayev bepeya. Zok tigmar. Oichel. What's lemute? What's it coming to be mayit? Right. So we just had five criteria in order to be chayev bepeya. Kol shu oichel was one. Nishmar is two. Gedulim in haaretz is three. Lekitas keachad is four. Umachnis lekiyum is five. So oichel lemute sfiche satan v'koytz. These were certain plants that were used as dye. So they weren't plants that were edible, or at least it wasn't used for food. It was used for just different purposes. Being that people didn't eat it, it's not subject to the laws of peyah. So if you have a crop of these plants, you don't have to leave peyah from it. V'nishma, it's protected l'mute hefker. No peyah on hefker. V'gedulim in ha'aretz l'mute kmeim u'pitriots. These are mushrooms and truffles. These are things that were not deemed to be giduloi min ha'aretz. And as a result, they're potter from peyah as well. Uliki tase ke'echel mutei te'ena. Figs. Figs. Each fig ripens at its own time, at its own pace. It's not the entire crop ripening at the same time. So it's not liki tase ke'echel, and it's for that reason there's no peyah. And finally, umachnisoi likium lemutei yerek. Vegetables go bad at some point, and as a result, people don't store them for a very long time. Either way, so when it comes to peyah, there's five criteria. You have to be an oichel, nishmar, as opposed to hefker, gedulei min ha'aretz, as opposed to truffles and mushrooms, ulikitasai ke'echel mutei figs, umachnisa lekiyum, as opposed to vegetables. What about ma'aser? That's also a mishnah. The first mishnah, mesachtes ma'asers. Perik aleph, mishnah aleph. Kol shu oichel, v'nishmar, v'gedulei min ha'aretz, chayev ma'asers. Oh, very gishmak. Here you don't have five criteria. You don't have to check off five boxes. You only have to check off three boxes. The first three. Kol shu oichel, v'nishmar, v'gedulei min ha'aretz. Those are the first three that pay also had. But which ones doesn't it have? Now, l'kitase ke'echad was memaet figs. U'machnisi l'kiyum was memaet vegetables. So you see that figs and vegetables are excluded from the parasha of peyah. They're included in the parasha of maisrus. So going back to the beginning of the Gemara. It's a kol shechayev bepeyah chayev bemaisrus. V'yeh shechayev bemaisrus v'enoy chayev bepeyah. Because peyah has five criteria. Maisrus only has three. Lasu yeh mai, lasu nei. Tena v'yerek, Those are going to be the two that not chayv and peya, because peya needs to check off those last two boxes as well. It also has to be the kitase ke'echad u'machnis alakim, maisu dozen. So that's what the nafkimina is going to be. Says the Gemara, that even though we just said that vegetables are excluded from peya, but we gave a reason for it. What was the reason? Because people are not machnis alakim. You don't store them for a long time. So what if you have a vegetable that you can store for a long time? If you had garlic and onions, these are things that you can store chayavim, you're going to be chayav. And it's a beforeish mishnah as well. Time we learned to the mishnah, malbunayis betzalin, shebein ayerik, if you had rows of onions that were planted in between different vegetables. Rabbi Yosef says, that we look at each row of onions as if they're their own field, and you have to leave peya from each row. No, you don't look at each row as a separate field. It's one big field, so you have to leave one peya. What's the machlokes? The machlokes is that being that the vegetables are sandwiching the onions, and the vegetables themselves are not chayv and peya, so maybe we look at each row of onions as it's its own field. Okay, a machlokes, but what do you see from this machlokes? This machlokes from Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. You see for sure that you chayv in peya from vegetables. I fool the muta yirakos. The Teretz says, no, yirakos are only in a smite to the extent that it's not machnisa lakim. Right? The Mishnah didn't say no vegetables. What the Mishnah said was machnisa lakim. That's what it said. So if you have a vegetable that people are not machnas lakim, which is most, then the halach is you're not going to be chayv in peya. But enochinami, if you had a yerek where people are machnas lakim, such as shumanu b'tzalim, there the halacha is going to be different. Incidentally, when we say over here that there's a chiv maisers on your rockets and all these things, it's only midirabana. Right? What's chayv in maisers midiraisa? So Pashat, it's dog and tirish v'yitzer. This is Shittas Rishonim that holds Shivas Aminim. So this is already a tremendous discussion and a big machloikis Rishonim. But that's Pashat, that this sugi over here is all on the rabbinic level. Midurabanon, Yerokas and these things would be chayiv and maestras, but even Midurabanon, they wouldn't be chayiv in peya. Zok tigemar. Amar Rabba bar Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yechon. We digress from our digression. Ulshin, shezorim mitchila lebehema. So Ulshin is a plant that sometimes people eat, and sometimes it was fed to the behemoths, meaning it was planted with the intent of it being Michael behemoth. So said Rabbi Barbach Anna in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that if somebody had Ulshin, and when he planted this crop, mitchilo, he had in mind to give it to his behemoths. V'nimlach aleihem. And then he decided, you know what, instead of me giving it to the behemoths, let me give it to Adam instead. We're going to eat it. So the halacha is, tzrichos machshava l'kishe yitlashu. So these Ulshin right now, are they subject to the halachas of Tumas Oichlin, or are they not subject to the halachas of Tumas Oichlin? What's the shayla? When they were planted initially, they were planted for Michael Behema. Michael Behema doesn't have Tumas Oichlin. But then again, you changed your mind. So now you decided that you want it to be for Michael Adam. Oh, it's going to be for Michael Adam. So now it is subject to the laws of Tumas Oichlin. So said Rabbi Yochanan that you would need machshav, and you would have to have an intent. Okay, the person had intent. Here's the chiddush. The chiddush is that l'kisha yitlashu. After you cut this plant from the ground, it's no longer mechubal karka. At that point, you would have to have a machshava. So the fact that you had a machshava while this crop was still growing, that's neither here nor there in terms of now making it achilas adam so that it will be subject to the laws of Tumas Oichlin. You would have to have a machshava l'kishe yitlashu, which is a very big chiddush. What's the pshak? Sovar. Rabbi Yochanan held machshavas chibur l'shma machshava. The machshava that you had while it was mechubal karka is not a good enough machshava in order to have this halacha. Now, what's the yisoid of this halacha? So let's speak it out outside. It'll be clear in the Gemara. The yisoid is because when something is mechubal karka, oichlin can't become tame. Something that's mechubal karka is not mekabel tuma, right? Something that's mechubal karka is not mekabel tuma. If that's the case, oichol that's mechubal karka is not subject to the laws of Tumas Oichlin. Rabbi Yochanan held that the machshava for something to be considered food, for it to be subject to the laws of Tumas Oichlin, has to happen at a time where it can physically be mekabel tuma. So being that when it's mechubar, it can't be mekabel tuma, so you can't have the machshava that will make it later shayach to be mekabel tuma. You have to have the machshava at a time where it can actually be mekabel tuma. That's kasover. Rabbi Yochanan holds machsheves chibur loishma machshava. That the machshava that you have while it's mechuber is not called a machshava, because when it's mechuber, it can't become tummy. If it can't become tummy, you can't have that machshava then either. Oh my Rava. So Rava said, I have a raya from a Mishnah right in the beginning of Masechtas Tayrois. Shloisha asar dvarim nemru benivlas oiftahar. There were 13 halachis that were said regarding the nevel of an oiftahar. Says the Mishnah, I'm going to tell you one of them. Tricha machshava. It needs machshava in order for it to be subject to Tumas Oichlin.
hechsher. But even though usually food, in order for it to be subject to tumas leichlin, would have to first be hukshel lekabel tuma, the nevel of an oiftar would not need any hechsher in order for it to be subject to be mekabel tuma. Now, what do we know about the nevela of an oiftar that came up so many times when we learned Seder Kachin? And that is that the nevela of an oiftar, only nevela, only an oif, and only an oiftar, it's mitame begodim a beis ablia. That if somebody eats it, it's in his beis ablia, it's in your throat, it's mitame the begodim that you're wearing. This is what's known as tuma chamura. That's the unique tuma chamura that the nevela of an oif tahar has. What this Mishnah is discussing, does the nevela of an oif tahar also have tumas oichlin? Or does it not also have tumas oichlin? It's a separate shayla. Does it have tumas oichlin or does it not have tumas oichlin? So the Mishnah says, tzricha machshava. Unless you have a machshava to eat the nevela of the oif tahar, it's not going to be subject to tumas oichlin. Apparently people didn't eat the nevela of an oif tahar. And being that people didn't eat it, it required a machshava, just like the ulshin. Needed a machshava. Why do you need a machshava? Because many people feed it to their animals. They don't eat it. So it needs machshava now to give it a chashivas of oichol. Right? What do you need machshava for? To give it a chashivas of oichol. If something's food, it's food, it's food. You don't have to have a machshava. The reason you need a machshava when it comes to the olshin, the reason you need a machshava when it comes to the nevel of the oiftar, is because these are things that may not be food. And because they're sort of in between, so for that reason, you need machshava in order to give it the chshivas of food. So it doesn't need machshava for it to have tumah, because the nevel of an oiftar is metame begadim abeis habliya, it's metame tumah chamura without any machshavas. Where the machshava plays in is the tumah kala. Of Tumas Oichlin, does it have Tumas Oichlin or not? For that, it needs Machshava. Ve'in etzricha Hechsher, just to go down memory lane for a moment. So why wouldn't it need Hechsher? Because this is a rule. The Gemara is going to say it later, but we're not going to get to it this morning. That the only time you need Hechsher is for a food that's not subject to Tumah Chamura. But anything that's Shayach to Tumah Chamura doesn't need Hechsher, even for the Tumah Kala. This is Machshirin 101, which is in itself an oxymoron. But this is Machshirin 101, right? So the only time you need Hechsher Tumah is if it's something that's not Shayach to a Tumah Chamura. But being that the Nevel of an Oiftar has Tumah Chamura because it's Metame Begodim Abeis Abli, so Nevel doesn't need Hechsher. But what do you see from here? You know what you see from here? Alva machshev is chayla loishma machshava. Rabbi was bothered with this Mishnah Masechtas Tyrus, this obscure halacha. He said, achvashtein it. He said, what do you need machshava for? L'chura, every oif, before it became an avelor, what do you do with your birds? You eat them, right? What else are you going to do? So you're going to eat the birds. So it was for sure oimed l'achila. Narvas, when it becomes an avelor, not everybody eats it anymore. But didn't it have machshava already from the bailin that he was going to eat it at the time that was alive? So what do you need machshava for? Zok Rava, what do you see from here? Avu machshava is chayim l'shma machshava. The machshava that you had while it was alive wasn't a good machshava. Why? Must be because it's a svara that the only time machshava works is if you had the machshava at a time where it could actually be tame. But being that an oif that's alive can't be tame. People, human beings can become tame while they're alive. Behemoths can never become tame while they're alive. That's when the world of tumah, sometimes an adam is more chumra than a behemoth. Right? In the pirches and shas, whenever you talk about tumah v'taira, so adam has a chumra that it's metame mechayim. But a behemoth never. So an oif can't be tame while it's alive. So that's why the machshava doesn't work there either. Oh, hachanami, so Rav shteld it too, to what Rabbi Yochanan said. Machshava is chibur loishma machshava. Just like you can't have a machshava for the oif while it's alive, so too you can't have a machshava for the ulshan while it's still attached. That was the tzushtel, says the Gemara. Reb Zeira Amar, Reb Zeira said, Rava, I don't think you have a raya. Because Haka Begoj Shtofa Menaru Maskina, maybe this bird that is being discussed in this Mishnah, Masechtas Tyrus, was a bird that just came from nowhere. It fell down literally. It was Nafal Min Harum. It fell down from the himlin. Meaning, no one ever saw this bird while it was alive. Nobody had it. This wasn't someone's pet bird that he decided, oh, one day this chicken, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to... This literally fell from the Shemayim. Fell from the Shemayim. No one ever had a machshava. Maybe machshava Michaim does work. Hacha b'mayaskinah, where there was nothing in our room, where there was no machshava Michaim. But Yavah kamadu lechshev alo. Amalei Abaya. But Abaya told him, I have one problem. Because Tarnagoylis shebi Yavne mayik lemeimer. What about the infamous Tarnagoylis that lived in Yavne? What are you going to do about that? So the Gemara later, on the bottom of the Amid, again, we're not going to get to it this morning, he's going to talk about the Tarnagoylos of Yavne, but it's before the Tarnagoylos of Yavne also needed machshava in order for it to be Roy Lekabel Tumah. Tarnagoylos is an oiftar. It needed machshava, after it was already slaughtered, or after it became an avela. So you see from there that the machshava that it had while it was alive wasn't okay. And that tarnegoilus was a regular domesticated bird. It was right. People knew the tarnegoilus. Sounds like people knew him. This tarnegoilus deyavna. So if this tarnegoilus deyavna, this didn't wasn't nafam in our room, and still you see the machshava michaim didn't work. So you can make it a kimt in the mishnah masachta is tyrus. But I have a real story. Ma'ase shahoya kachaya with a chicken in yavna. As I faked the gemara on my way, he told the tarnegoilus. The Tarnagoilus in Yavna was a Tarnagoilus Barah. It was a wild Tarnagoilus, meaning it came from the Midbar, it came from somewhere else. So when the Olam heard what Rav Zeira is told Abai, they started laughing. Tarnagoilus Barah if Tameyu. Meaning they thought he was referring to a Tarnagoilus Barah, which is a real bird that is mentioned in Masechta Schulin, that's not a kosher bird. And that story of the Tarnagoilus of Yavna that the Gemara is going to talk about at the bottom of the Amid, it's clear from that Maisa that it was a kosher bird. Mitzias, that's what it was. So they told it, it couldn't have been a Tarnagol Barah. Because if Tamehu, if Tamehu become a Tamia, it wouldn't have been Tamia. That whole story would have been dead on arrival had it been a Tarnagolus Barah. So it wasn't a Tarnagolus Barah. He told him, Gavir Rabba Amar Milsa Loisechichu Alas. Abaye said, don't laugh at what Rab Zeira said. He said, Gavir Rabba says something, you have to understand what he means. He didn't mean that it was a Tarnagolus Barah, as in the bird that's known as the Tarnagolus Barah, that the Gemara Sachtes Chulin says is not a kosher bird. Rather, but Tarnagolus Shemar. What it meant was, this was a Tarnagoilus that was Marda. This Tarnagoilus got really upset. She left. She checked out. Went and lived somewhere. Had a family in the suburbs. Then came back at some point. And meaning, the point is, nobody had seen this Tarnagoilus. Usually a Tarnagoilus stays with its family. Stays with the people that raise it. This Tarnagoilus was Marda. She rebelled. The point is, that not that it was the non-kosher bird known as the Tarnagoilus Mar, but rather what it means, bara, but rather it, what it means is a tarnagoilus that was marda. My bara, the evroi mi mara, that and she went ahead and she came from where these tarnagoiluses are, but she herself was not a tarnagoilus bara. Papa said tarnagoilus the agmavoi. Said a similar text. This was a tarnagoilus that lived in the swamp. It's like, yeah, not bara, that's already getting tricky. Do we mean the wild one that's actually not kosher? Very simple. Tarnagoilus lived in a swamp. Nobody had seen this Tarnagoilus. And as a result, no one ever had machshava for a while it was alive that it should be makabel to rapapa l'tamei. The Gemara says, this is rapapa l'shitasi. Dam rapapa Tarnagoilus da'agma. This Tarnagol da'agma, the Tarnagoilus da'agma, said kosher is a non-kosher. So he said, the Tarnagol da'agma is awesome. You're not allowed to eat it. Tarnagol to da'agma. Shayu v'simonach. And a good way to remember which one's which. Amoini. V'loy amoynes. Darash Mirema. Mirema said on this note, Tarnagolta the Agma Asiro. The Tarnagolus the Agma is Osir. Not like Rapapa. Rapapa said the Tarnagol, the male, is Osir. The Tarnagolta is not. Mirema said, no, even the Tarnagolta the Agma is Asiro. Chaziru Rabbanan, the Darus of Agam. The reason is, he says, because Rabbanan observed it, that when it kills its prey, it's Doires Va'oichel. That's one of the simonim of an oif tamei mesachtes chulin. V'hainu girusa, and by the way, this is the girusa that Chazal referred to sometimes. What they meant was the tarnagolta, the agma exhale. So this next gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, is a continuation, but really segues very much into daf nun aleph. So we'll stop here and speak out in the aras, gishmaka aras, as they relate to today's daf. So kosher ladun, kosher lehayid. V'yesha kosher lehayid, v'ena kosher ladun. So anyone that can be a judge can also be an aid. However, the yesha kashalot, it's possible to be a kashar aid, the enoi kashalot. But if you're kashaladun, right, if you can be a judge, you can definitely be an aid. Tosfos on Daf Nun Amud Aleph asks a bomba kasha. He asks a kasha from a pasuk in Nach, something that everybody knows. One of the nevios was Devorah. Devorah ha-Neviah. And the pasuk says in Sefer Shoftim, it's Perek Dalet, it's pasuk Dalet, U Devorah isha Neviah. Eshes lapidos, he shoifte es Yisrael be'esahe. So not only was Devorah a neviyah, but she was also a shoifetes, right? She was a judge. He shoifte es Yisrael be'esahe. Where did she sit? V'yoshevas tachas toimer Devorah, ben harama u'ben beisel b'har afrayim v'yalu eilev b'nei Yisrael ha-mishpat. And if anyone had a court case, who would they bring the case to? They would bring it to Devorah. So it seems pretty clear that Devorah was a kashalavan. She was a woman that was allowed to pass. The problem is, we know women are pasul eidos. V'amdu shnei anoshim, anoshim v'lei noshim. A woman can't be an eid. Freik tais akasha, hezrim with the Mishnah. Kol akasha ladun, kasha leheid. It's not true. Devorah hanaviya teichiach. Devorah was kasha ladun. The pasuk says, v'yalu eilea b'nei Yisrael ha-mishpat. And at the same time, she was definitely pasul eidos. So tais has three terutzim. One teretz tais says, maybe anochinam, maybe the Mishnah that says kol akasha ladun means men. Any man that's kosher ladon is kosher leir. But enu chenami, not kala kosher ladon kosher leir, because you have women, and women are kosher ladon, even though women are not kosher leir. Another teretz Tosfos says is that it could be the dvar was different because it was al pi adibor. When she was pasketing shailas, her whole thing was if she wasn't really being a dayan. What she was doing was al pi adiba. She was tapping into Ruach HaKodesh. She was a Neviyah. And because of that, that's what she was able to do it. Which, by the way, answers this question, but it opens up a whole other Pandora's box. And that is, are you allowed to paskin shailos al pi adiba? What happened to the rule? Torah lo b'shamayimi. So that's for another day. Inami, or Tosfos says, lo yhoysa dona elo malamed esam adina. She wasn't really paskin in shailos. She was just teaching. So they would come to her. She would say, yeah, listen, there's a shach, there's a taz, there's a prima godin, there's a chuvah for a moisha. So she would just like, you know, present the information. But she wasn't paskinning. She's not allowed to be a judge. Meaning her vote didn't count when it comes to Dine Nebominis or Dine Nefashis because she's taka pasaladin. But she knew the sugyas. So at the end of the day, you wanted to talk and learning. You went to the Vayra Neviyah and she would present the whole story. And then you would be a bezdin that ultimately would have to paskin the shah. This is a Tosfos right here. Again, this is all tucked away. Nida, Dafnun Amid Aleph, that asks a kasha on this klal of the Mishnah. Kala kasha ladin, kasha lahayid. What happened to the Vayra Neviyah? It's the pasuk says, Vihi shayfta es Yisrael. But Esahi, it says clearly that she was a Shefeta. So just to digress a little bit and end the daf on this note, and that is that Tosfos is discussing how is the Vayra allowed to be a judge? She's Pasul Eidos. And the Mishnah says, Kala Kasha Ladin, Kasha Lehayid. So if she's not Kasha Lehayid, then Luchura, she shouldn't be Kasha Ladin either. But really, there's another thing you have to understand, and that is who taught the Vayra all this Torah? But she had a Chavrusa, she sat and learned. Like, how did the Vayra know all this Torah in the first place? And it seems like not only did she know, but she was teaching, and maybe she was even a diet. Okay, Tais not sure, Tais has different terutzim, but there's a more fundamental issue I think that needs to be addressed, and that is that purely from a Hilchas Talmud Torah standpoint, was the Vayra HaNeviyah allowed to sit and learn Torah? Is that so pashut? So the truth is like this, when it comes to women and Talmud Torah, so really the sugya starts with a Mishnah, a Masechta Soita, Daf Chav HaMalaf. We'll start, and we'll pick this up another day. The Mishnah over there is discussing, the context is the Mei Soita. So this is this woman who her husband suspects, maybe did an Avera, Kinu Stira. She goes up to Bezin and now she's going to drink this magical potion. And this drink is going to be like the Urim V'Tumim. It's going to tell us now if she's innocent or if she's guilty. If she's innocent, everything's going to be wonderful. If not, the Tzofsof's Bitna, it's not going to be good. Says the Mishnah, stating that, there was an idea of S'chus Toilola. There was a concept that if a woman had a S'chus, certain S'chusim, they suspended the outcome and the result of the Mayim Amarim. So a woman could have a certain schus, and that would somehow help her in the event that she found herself in this situation. Says the Mishnah, Soita davchof amin aleph, Mikan oimer ben Azai. It was from this that Ben Azai used to say, Chayev odom lulamin esbite Torah. A person has an obligation to teach his daughter Torah. Just like you teach your son's Torah, you should teach your daughter's Torah as well. Why? Why is it so? Mikan? Why Ben Azai take it from here? He said, this is what inspired Ben Azai to tell the world that you should teach your daughter's Torah also. Avisu banos, not just Avisu banim. Why? Well, why was he so inspired? He said, because she intishte, teide she'aschus toilola. Because I wanted to know these halachas of schus toilola. Because what happens if she's going to drink and then nothing's going to happen? So she's going to be mitzi laza. You see the water, this whole thing that the Torah says about the water, it's not true because I know I was guilty and nothing happened. But if she's if she knows so then she knows there's something called schus toilola. So she knows that maybe it was because of a schus that she had. So she won't be mitzi laza on the mind. So the context of Ben Azai's memra is interesting. But this is what it is. Mikan ebi Ben Azai. Chayev adam lamed esbitei Torah. Shem tishte teide shaschus toilola. Rabbi Eliezer, says, no Ben Azai. Kolam lamed bitei Torah. Ki ilu lemda tiflos. If somebody teaches his daughter Torah, it's as if he taught her tiflos. We'll see in a minute why. Rabbi Shua said something very unclear. Roitze isha v'kavet tiflos. Mitisha kaven oprisha. So a woman would rather have less money and more tiflus, meaning znus, than have more money and less znus. Either way, says the Gemara. Ben Azai is very clear. Ben Azai said that you see from here that mikan amru, that Ben Azai said a person has an obligation not only to teach his son's Torah, but to teach his daughter's Torah as well. His daughter's Torah as well. Rabbi Eliezer said no. Kama lamed esbitei Torah, kilo lamda tif. Says the Gemara, why? What does this mean? So at my time of the Rabbi Eliezer, the pasuk says, ani chachma shachanti yarmo. Kiven shenichnes a because when a person develops chachma, he starts becoming clever, and
you know, it makes him a little techni, becomes geribin. And it's not good for women to develop this geribinkeit. Why not? So it's, if you take a look at the Marsha, what emerges in Pashup Shah and the Gemara is as follows. Women are daitin kalos. I mean that they're daitin kalos, so we're always worried that maybe they're going to do averus, specifically when it comes to areas of arayas. Nervos, it's hard sometimes practically for her to figure out how to do an avera. But if she's going to learn Torah, so now she's going to already know how to give zechan etzah. And like this, take her daitin kalos with dani chachma shachanti arma, with the little bit of arma that she has, you mix it all together, it's very dangerous. Men are not daitin kalos. So men can learn Torah. Women are high risk. Women low, and the men are low risk. So the woman who's high risk because she's diet and calories, so the woman we don't want to teach Torah because we're afraid. This is Pashup Shah and the Gemara. As opposed to men that are not diet and calories, that's what Rebbe Eliezer said. Either way, it would seem to be a machloikis, Benazai and Rebbe Eliezer. Is it okay to teach your daughter Torah? Or, nothing to do with teaching your daughter, is it okay for a woman to learn Torah or not? According to Benazai, yeah, chayav avon lamin is bitei Torah. And just like and if he himself doesn't learn, and if his father never taught him Torah, he has to teach himself. So to Chayav Lam is beat the Torah, and if her father never taught him Torah, she has an obligation to learn Torah. Meaning, a woman has a mitzvah Talmud Torah, just like a man has a mitzvah Talmud Torah. That's Benazai Shita. Rebbe Eliezer said, no, just the opposite. Number one, there's for sure no mitzvah. Not only is there no mitzvah, but it's even worse than that. Kol Melamed as beat the Torah is Melamdei Tiflis. And Pashup Shah is, it sounds like it's Arayas. Well, how does Torah get to Arayas? Because women are daitin kalos to begin with. I mean that the daitin kalos, there's a chashash that maybe this is going to end up leading to something. We know the Gemara, Masechtas Chagiga, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there says that, what was the purpose of Hakel? Right, so what was the idea of the mitzvah of Hakel? So the Gemara says, the men came, the women came, the children came. So they didn't all come for the same reason. Anashim bo lilmoit, says the Gemara. Men came to learn Torah. Nashim, they came to hear. Toises is medayik, that it sounds like the men came to learn, the women just came to listen, not to learn. What's the difference? It sounds like men have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, women don't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Says Toisfis, a small Toisfis. Amar bi Yerushalmi deloike ben Azai. The Yerushalmi says that this statement is deloike ben Azai. To Amar chayiv adon lamed lebitei Torah. Because if it's true that chayiv adon lamed is bitei Torah, which is another way of saying that women have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, then why did the men come to learn and the women come to listen? L'chayiv, the men and the women both came to learn. Men learn, oh, women listen, weisen weissuchais, that men have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, women don't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So, Tosfos, if that's the case, this statement is the law. Now, who's the Baal member of this state? It's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So, if that's the case, it comes out that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that you're not supposed to teach girls Torah. Men learn, women listen, don't learn. You come to listen. Rabbi Eliezer, in the Mishnah, in Masechta Sota Daf Chaf, someone teaches his daughter Torah, it's Kilim Lamli Tiflis. Keneged who? Keneged Ben Azai. The reason this is very important is because if it was Rabbi Eliezer Keneged Ben Azai, we'd probably pass him like Ben Azai. Because Rabbi Eliezer is Shamuti. But it's not Rabbi Eliezer, it's Rabbi Eliezer, and it's Rabbi Loza Ben Azariah. And maybe even Rabbi Shua, although it's not clear what Rabbi Shua meant in the Mishnah, in Masechta Sota. And it's for that reason the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Eliezer, that Kamalamin is Bitei Torah, it's Ke'ilu Malam De Tifros. The Rambam is in Hilchis Talmud Torah, it's Perek Aleph, it's Halacha Yud Gimel. Says the Rambam, listen to Lishoyne Azov of the Rambam, there's so many dukim in this Rambam. Isha Shalom De Torah, a woman that learns Torah, Yeshla Schar, she gets reward, Aval Enuk Ischaro Ish, but it's not the same Schar that a man gets. Mevnei Shalom It's Tavis, because she doesn't have a mitzvah. V'chala Oysa Dovish Eina Mitzvah Olav, Ein Scharai Kischar HaMitzvah Sha'asa, Ela Pachas Mimenu. Godal HaMitzvah Vaisi Oysa Misha Eina Mitzvah Vaisi. Oysa? So says the Rambam that's Pasha. That if a woman learns Torah, even though she gets schar, but she doesn't get the same level of schar that a man does, because she's an enemy of a voice. Number two. Va'ava b'shiyesh lo schar. Even though a woman gets schar when she learns Torah, tzivu chachamim shlo yilamidom as bita Torah. The chachamim, sounds like it's the Rabbanim. The chachamim said that a woman shouldn't learn Torah. M'pnei, sheroiv ha'noshem ein daita mechuvonis l'slamid. Because most women are not daita mechuvonis. Ve'hei moitzien divrei Torah, the divrei havoi, lefi anir's daiton. And they're going to end up distorting the halachas.
It sounds like the Rambam had a different definition of tiflus. The way the Rav Bar Tanur and Rashi and the Sugya Masach the Soita learn tiflus, it's more related to Arayas. It sounds like from the Rambam that it's not so much related to Arayas. It's more related to the fact that they're not going to fully get it. But it's Sherei Vanosh, most of the women are in Daita Mechubanas. Amr Chachamim, Sede Chachamim, Kamalam, Bitei Torah, Kilo Limda Tiflus, Rebbe Eliezer's is Memra. But Medvar Mamura B'Torah Shabbat Peh, says Rambam, this is only true for Torah Shabbat Peh, Aval Torah Shabbat Iksav, Lo Yilamid Ois L'Katkhila, it's not L'Katkhila, the Im Limda, if however he teaches her Torah, in the Kamalam the Tiflus, but at the same time, it's not going to be Ke'ilu Malam the Tiflus. So regardless, the Rambam paskins like Rebbe Eliezer that said, says the guy in Bir Agra that Luchaira. Why did he paskin like right Rebbe Eliezer? It's not only Rebbe Eliezer. It's Rebbe Eliezer and it's Rebbe Yeshua, which is you have to learn up that mission site a little bit better. The Loike Ben Azay and the Chay Rebbe Eliezer Ben Azay. Perikam the Chagigo. Tafkim Lamed Aleph. The Amar Noshim Boyin Lumay Noshim Boy Lishmayu Kamash Gosav Tais Hashem B'Shem Yerushalmi. So the bottom line is the Rambam Paskin is not like Ben Azay that a woman has a mitzvah of Talmud Torah Chayvon Lamed Is Bitei Torah. But who's Rambam Paskin like? He Paskin is like Rebbe Eliezer. The Kamal Lamed Is Bitei Torah Kilo Malam De Tifus. The Maril in a Tshuva. The Maril. The Maril was asked, this is in Simon Kuf Tzadik Tes, was asked the Shiloh, that I understand, there were women in Tanakh that you find, or not Tanakh, he asks from the Torah Shabbat Peh, from Gemara. There were women in Gemara that knew how to learn. They were, right, they learned Torah. Who taught them Torah? I mean, Lechura, Rebbe Eliezer holds Kilim, and I'm the Tiflis. It seems like there were so many, and he brings one example, Bruria Ishtar Shalab Meir. He says, Bruria Ishtar Shalab Meir, she went ahead and she learned Torah. So Lechura, how did she learn Torah? This was the question that was asked to the Maril. And the Maril gave two terutzim. He says, could be Bruria's father. I don't know who Bruria's father was. Well, Rameh Shver. So who would Bruria's father maybe held like Ben Azai? So Bruria's father held like Ben Azai. So maybe it's for that reason that Bruria went and learned Torah because her father taught him Torah, like Ben Azai. He was a machlekes tanoim. So maybe her father held like Ben Azai. Inami says that we find that Bruria was a veris al das chachamim. And being that Bruria was a veris al das chachamim, so maybe she was a veris al das chachamim as well. She didn't do the right thing. She wasn't supposed to learn Torah. She was a veris al das chachamim, and it's for that reason she ended up doing this. So I'm going to tell you something I found in the Sefer Ali Be'er, written by Rabbi Israel Klatz, and he said something beautiful. He says, what's the Gemara, what's the Maril referring to when he says that you find that Bruria was a veris al das chachamim? He's referring to a Rashi in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis. This is sort of well known. The context of it is, the Gemara says, Arak Rameir. Rameir moved. At one point, Rameir ran away. And the Gemara says, why did he move? So what verse the Gemara gives a whole shtickle Torah related to Elokodim Eiraneni. And the Iba Yisema, the Gemara says, it could be the reason that he moved was because of what happened with his wife. So what's this? What's this Maisa? The Iba Yikadami Mehai Maisa, the Ikadami Me Maisa the Bruya. What was the story with Bruya? So I'll read to you from Rashi. Pamachas Wigliga, Al Sha'amru Chachamim, Noshim Daitan Kalas. Once upon a time, Bruya was making Chayzik. She said, Chazal said, Noshim Daitan Kalas, they're not Daitan Kalas. So Rameir wanted to show his wife, Bruya, that women are really Daitan Kalas. Amalo, he said, Chayecha Soifich Lahoidus Ledevrem. It's even Echim Talmidah. This is very mysterious exactly what this means. But Rameir went to one of his Talmidim and he basically told his Talmud, go, I want you to try to seduce my wife into doing an Avera. He went to her and she said, absolutely not. Again, absolutely not. And then finally she succumbed. Ukishanoidla, when she realized what she had done, Chanka Atzma, she killed herself. She was Ma'abed Atzma Ladas. Va'orek Rameir, and Rameir ran away Machmas Kisufa because he was embarrassed about what happened. So there's so much here in this Rashi. But this is a Maisa. This is the Maisa. This is what the Maril is referring to. That she was a Veras Adas Chachamim. Where do you find it was a Meir was a Veras Adas Chachamim? Bruri was a Veras Adas Chachamim. It's this Rashi right here in Avodah Zarah. Taf Yud Ches Omebeis. So Rabbi Zriel Klatt said beautiful. He said, what was the Yusayid of the Veras Adas Chachamim? What was the Yusayid? The Yusayid was, she didn't believe in Noshim Daitan Kalois. That's why she went ahead and she learned Torah. What's the reason that a woman's not supposed to learn Torah? What's the Pashup Shad? The Pashup Shad is because it's going to bring Lidei Arayas. What's going to be? What do you mean it's going to bring Lidei Arayas? Yeah, because Noshim Daitan Kalois, and now she's going to have ways to hide it, so it's going to end up coming to Terah Bavet. What about men? Oh, men are not Daitan Kalois. That means the Yusayid of why a woman's not allowed to learn Torah, what does it come down to? It comes down to Noshim Daitan Kalois. Oh, Bruria, you see, she used to fight with her husband, she used to tell her, man, no, I don't believe leave Nashim Taita Kalas. That's not true. And that was ultimately her downfall. But the point is that she didn't believe in Nashim Taita Kalas. Lishitasa, she learned Torah. Because she didn't believe in Nashim Taita Kalas. This is a shtickle Torah based on this Maril and Simon Kuf Tzadik test. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that you see clearly from here that a woman's not supposed to learn Torah. Because we pass in with Rabbi Eliezer, Kamalamid, Espite Torah, Ki'ilam Alamdoi Tifla. So the question is, what about the Vaira? What about the Vaira? How was she? She was Shaifetes. How was she able to be Shaifetes? I'll just tell you one Ha'ara that I had, and that is the Vaira, in addition to being a Shaifetes, she was also in a Via. Right, she was in a via. The Rambam says in Perek Zayin Hilchas Yisoidei HaTorah, in order to be a Navi, he had to check off a lot of boxes. Right, we had before pay of 5 boxes, mice of 3 boxes. This is not easy. The prerequisites to be a Navi, says the Rambam, Yisoidei Hadas Leida Shakel Menabi Espinei Yodam. One of the Yud Gimel Likrim is you have to believe in Nevuah. Ve'ena Nevuah Chala El Al Chacham Gadol B'Chachma. Gibar b'midaisav, v'leihe yitzre miskaber ala b'dava b'aylam. Elohu miskaber b'daita al yitzre tamid. You have to be a chacham, you have to gibar. Right. Says the Rambam. Baldeya rechava, you have to be a baldeya rechava, nechoyna ad ma'oid. You have to be a baldeya rechava, nechoyna ad ma'oid. I'm not sure exactly how to interpret these words, translate these words, but you get the point. A baldeya rechava, a nechoyna ad ma'oid. You couldn't be a Navi unless you met these criteria. If Devora was a Naviya, that means we had Eidus, that she was a baldeya rechava, nechoyna ad ma'oid. If that's the case, then maybe it's moving why she was allowed to learn Torah. Because why could a woman not learn Torah? It's all based on Nashim Daitan Kalos. Ordinarily, you have to assume Nashim Daitan Kalos. Now, the truth is, there are women that are not Nashim Daitan Kalos. We read the Lashon HaRambam. The Rambam says, Roiv Nashim in Daitan Mechuvanos. But you see from there, this is a Miyot Denah. But ordinarily, called the Parish Meruba Parish. Right? Bruria thought she wasn't Daitan Kalos. Look what ended up happening. She ended up being Daitan Kalos. She ended up being Nichshol in this Aveira. But over here, we had Eidos. He had Eidos Goloi. The fact that she's in a via and that she could say Eidos, what does that mean? That means that she's a very chashuva woman, yeah, for sure. But it also means that she's a baldeya rechava nechayna ad ma'ay. Oh, if she's a baldeya rechava, we have Eidos, literally a basko, Ruach HaKodesh telling us that she's a baldeya rechava. That means she's not Daitan Kalos. She's not Daitan Kalos. Maybe it's for that reason she's allowed to learn Torah. Just as it relates to the halacha l'maisa, since you do, the Chafetz Chaim wrote already in his times in Lukuti Halacha and Masechta Soita, that even though Chazal said that women shouldn't learn Torah, but there's some Torah they have to learn. Because once upon a time there was Masorah, and today the Masorah is not what it used to be. I mean that the Masorah isn't what it used to be, so he says today women should learn, and they should learn Chumash, and Tanakh, and Pirkei Avos. There were certain things that a woman should definitely learn. But fast forward, many years later, 1976, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein was asked to Shiloh by Hagoy Rabbi El Yisveh. Zatzal, Haram be Philadelphia. And he was asked, Limud Mishnayas Labanois. Should girls learn Mishnayas? I'll read through Ramosh's Shuv, it's one paragraph. Hine, the Dovash and Imsu Bate Sefer Lyolodis Ulinorish and Nikru Bashem Besiakov Kadoima. Sharoitim and Holo Bamurim Lulimidim Mishnayas. They want to learn Mishnayas. Hine, Haram and Paragal of Milchas Tamater Lochim Pasak Rebel Yezer. Besoit of Chof. Shein Lalami Labanois Tara. Achu Mechalik, Shekilum Lam the Tiflus Ubetarish of Alpe, Ubetarish of Xav in Kalamit Tiflus. Achel Katrila Gamza in Lalamit. Alkoponim Mishnayas. Shutarish of Alpe. Tzivu Chachom Shloy Lamdon. V'have ke'ilu l'mdam tiflos. V'lechein tzorech l'moyna mizeh. You have to stop. V'rak pirkei ovois. Mishum shu unyonei musar van hogeis toivis yesh lo lamdam. Behezber. Lo oiron lahavas toira ulamidais toivois. Avo loy sharam mesechtes umitecha pshitas. Because it's so poshit that a girl should not learn mishnayis. Akatzer. V'goyme bebrocho sheyarbitz toir v'yir shamayim loyvo. This was Ramosha Shuvah that he wrote about learning mishnayis. That he said it was a double poshit that a girl should not learn mishnayis.